PC Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer, and man.
Linda from Altamont Springs, Florida. I always... Oh, wait. I don't do that part, do I?
Yeah, no. I don't even need to be here.
Oh, man.
I'm
really confused
finish work that I need
about
to do.
What my role is here.
Just shut up.
Okay. All right. I'll do that.
And the guy to my left, Mr. Hottie Patati Will Schmidt, is here today in the house looking tan.
Hi.
Will Schmidt knows his role.
Yeah, you know, people that have been contacting me about the protein are calling me Hottie Patati now.
Oh, yeah.
They're
see?
Like, wow.
Yeah.
When I write them back, they're like, wow, I got to hear from the Hottie Patati himself. Like,
see when I started?
You started that, yeah.
We should give a coupon for people who order
that. Yeah, they get a 50% discount.
Say Hottie Patati. That's our new sponsor, Hottie Patatis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you haven't, today we're going to be, I'm jumping the gun here. Today we're going to be talking about omega-3s, the debate. Good, bad, evil, or do they just make you burp up fish? I mean,
there's quite a debate on it, and we're going to debate it up real nice.
I hear they're going to do it in Congress, too, in the next presidential debate.
It's good. They probably will do that. Yeah. Good.
So if you haven't liked us yet on Facebook, go ahead and kick it in the nuts. That's where we post all of our show topics that we're going to be doing in the future, and you guys can ask any questions, or you can even say, hey, I want you to do this show, and we'll say probably yeah.
You don't have to ask a lot of questions. We've got a lot of questions this week, so maybe just calm down a little bit and just listen in. You don't have to work so hard.
Yeah, my fingers get tired from copying and pasting people, so let's keep the questions to a minimal.
Uh-huh.
All right, and also, if you'd like to learn how to become a health coach or even just dig into more advanced teachings for yourself or your family, go to healthprocourse.com to learn about Tony and Will's course for coaches. Registration for this course only opens to the public for about a week at a time, so be sure to register for the coach newsletter so you'll be notified when the next registration opens. You'll find more info at healthprocourse.com. You don't want to be left out.
You'll miss out, and you'll be sad. Who wants to be sad?
I know. I'm taking it now, and I felt my IQ go up several points.
It went up about 7 points just today, probably.
I've just been talking to people on the street saying, you know, don't do that
because
you're doing it wrong. What if you're this and this? You know, I like to give my advice. I'm probably steering people in the wrong
direction.
And
they're like, do you work here?
I'm late for work.
So with this topic today, this is a pretty good debate, and I think in order to really talk about this topic, we should share our curve of opinion about this topic, because I certainly believe that we have had quite a curve on this opinion.
Yeah.
And it's even taken more turns lately. But I think that when we started out, we probably were a big fan of omega-3s back when we were dumb and told people to alkalize and do all kinds of stuff like that.
And just for the record, I hope that every year I can look back at the year before and be like, oh, I was dumb.
Man, was I dumb.
The heart doesn't even pump blood.
You would not believe that I found that out yesterday.
What?
To a large degree, light pumps blood.
Whoa.
Yeah. The heart does play, but light actually does the primary role of pumping blood through the capillaries. Infrared light, which is incandescent.
But if you were just locked in a closet?
Well, even a closet has light. But if you were out in space, there can be problems. Like if you were in somewhere where there was not as much infrared light.
That's why you atrophy. Everything atrophies, your heart, all that stuff,
too. It's a big problem. But light pumps.
So you were certainly dumber yesterday, unless you just made that up. Then tomorrow people are going to be like, you're dumber today.
Yeah.
Every day it's like, new study. Cancel the old study. The new study's out.
Yeah, so this kind of brings up a great topic of a lot of what we like to do on this show is that, you know, the basic reality is that every single thing out there that you could possibly look up or find a study on, every single food, every single supplement, every single substance is bad for you. And every single thing out there is good for you. And so when you try to find research about something, you can pretty much find just as much pro as you can con on just about everything. So what we like to do is we like to look at, who is this really good for and why? And who is this really bad for and why? Or we like to see, okay, why do they think this is good, even though it's not? Or why do they think this is bad, even though it's pretty good?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like what we'd like to do on this show, and that's kind of what today's topic will be a lot about. But, you know, long ago when we followed very mainstream stuff, omega-3s were very beneficial. It's, you know, cuts down inflammation. Woo-hoo, it's magic. It makes your brain work.
Yeah.
No more cholesterol. Boom. Suck it up and eat it all. It's like, it's just, that's how everybody was taught. But then we learned, oh, there's people that are really catabolic, and all these omega-3s are very pro-catabolic. So that was our first step in changing our tune. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'd say we're even, maybe even past that.
Yeah, I think we're past that, but I do feel very strongly about that.
Yeah.
And to where, like, I could have somebody argue with me with some other stuff, and I might end up being like, going, oh, all
okay,
right.
Okay.
But with this, with am I going to give catabolics fish oil? No.
Right. I agree.
That's why you're also always so anal when I pick up your eggs. No omega-3s, right?
Yeah, I get a little bit violent about that when she's buying eggs for me.
Yeah, so that we haven't really, like, needed to, like, evolve and understand. Like, definitely, if you are in what we refer to as, like, a catabolic imbalance, or
could you break that down for a second for new listeners who don't know what overly catabolic means?
Yeah. So the way we use the term is maybe different than if you, like, did a Wikipedia or looked up what catabolic means. But essentially, at its core, it's like a tissue breakdown state. But we also talk about it in the context of being, like, an energy producing state. So it's covering a couple different aspects of physiology and what's happening. So we talk about the catabolic state as, like, appropriate for daylight hours when the body's meant to be on, producing energy, burning fuel, like a car engine that's on. You can also talk about it in the terms of, like, a catabolic breakdown, a catabolism of cells being just, like, broken down into bare parts for sale at some pawn shop or something. But it means both of those things.
I like shopping at a pawn shop.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not talking about that right now. But it's great because it's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, at night we move into this anabolic state to where things are rebuilt and we rest and repair. So those things couldn't be rebuilt if they weren't first broken down. So we're all supposed to be in that catabolic state during the day for many, many reasons. But a lot of people just get stuck, pushed too far in that direction, and they're kind of breaking down all the time, and they never get into that rest and repair state. Mm-hmm. So what we know is that fatty acids are very pro-catabolic. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, we would see clients that were very overly anabolic, and we would know that, oh, we could use fatty acids with this client, and it would benefit them greatly because it would help move them out of this state that they're kind of stuck in.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to be effective. And there's still situations where I like to at least think about using that. But what I've been finding lately is a lot of people say that those beneficial effects, even of fatty acids, are very temporary. And then some of the bad effects go on longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is a... That is kind of at the root of where the whole misunderstanding about fatty acids found its, like, its foothold in science and in mainstream medicine and in mainstream health recommendations, was sort of misunderstanding and misinterpretation of these original studies done in 1929 on some rats. Do you want me to talk about that at all?
Yeah, you can go into that.
Okay, so
I like stories about rats.
Yeah, so if you ask, like, a doctor or a scientist today who's like, what is the basis of these fats being called essential? Like, why are they essential fatty acids? They'll usually point back to this one study done in 1929 where they found that these rats that were fed a fatty acid diet they wouldn't die of, like, malnourishment. They would, like, so certain diseases and certain, like, vitamin deficiencies wouldn't show up in these rats that had fatty acids. Later, it was found out that, and so these fats were called, like, essential, because, like, without them, these rats would die.
Because the body doesn't make them, so you need to get them.
Right. Yeah, and they found these rats would die prematurely if they weren't given these fatty acids. But then, later, just a couple years later, they found, the same scientist found that he could also rescue these rats from dying prematurely by giving them vitamin B6. So then they looked at like, oh, that's interesting. So they didn't actually need fatty acids. And actually, the rats that were given vitamin B6 and no fat lived much longer than these other rats. And what they found really was that the fatty acids that they fed rats damaged the metabolism of the rats enough, like slowed their metabolism, damaging the mitochondria, so that they didn't need as many vitamins or minerals, so they didn't incur these vitamin or mineral deficiencies. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So if your metabolism's burning really fast, they burn through all their B6 really quickly, and then they ran into a vitamin B6 deficiency. If they were supplemented with B6, they could keep up this faster metabolism and live longer and healthier, and they didn't get cancer, and they had all these other health benefits that that rats on a fat-free diet had. Like, it's very well documented that fatty acids cause cancer and massively increase the rate of cancer in pretty much all mammals. So the rats did a lot better once they just had enough vitamins and minerals to work with, and they didn't have those fatty acids.
And so since back then they only had like 4 studies.
Yeah, and they didn't even know about vitamin B6. It hadn't been discovered yet.
Oh, okay. So there's a lot of confusion that has gone on for a long time, and now there's lots of studies, and lots of studies that show the harmful effects as much as there are ones that show beneficial effects. The problem is that some of the beneficial effects seem to be a little bit misleading and even misled us for a long time.
Yeah. But even like studies, I mean, like, what are the test subjects? What are the, you know,
that's a great point.
It's like, yeah. How do you know, like, that it's a correct study? Because everybody's different and processing different and doing different things.
And it's not always malintention. A lot of times it's malintention to, like, get a certain result you want. But then other times it's like when they'll do studies on fish oils, like, well, along with the fish in their diet, they're also getting these other fat-based vitamins that are also useful. Mm-hmm. So to do, like, a true study, you'd have to do, like on the impact of, like, say, an omega-3 versus omega-6 versus a diet that didn't have any of those, you'd have to look at the other vitamins and minerals that you're also putting into their diet. And whether or not they're malintentioned, they might not know to look for that and to control for that.
But when you have to do, like, everybody's the same age, around the same weight, that has the kind of the same
digestion, chemistry
and all that stuff.
So no study could ever do that.
Be perfect, yeah.
Yeah, so it's tricky. But some of these, like, sort of misleading benefits include an apparent relief of symptoms that some people feel like, say, there's a lot of hype about the need for omega-3s over 6s, and that this ratio has to be correct. And the thing is, like, omega-3s are so immunosuppressive that a lot of the times, like, symptoms of diseases kind of disappear when you super supplement with omega-3s. Kind of like if you were to take a drug that blocked your body from being able to have a fever. Like, you just can't have the fever anymore, so you feel better. You're like, oh, you feel this, like, relief. And x-rays do that also. X-rays were also for a long time promoted as being therapeutic and anti-inflammatory. And now we know, like, oh, it's just this radiation damage that totally screws your immune system. In the very same way, omega-3s will do that as well and suppress inflammation and suppress your immune system, so that people feel these temporary benefits. They even can use omega-3s to suppress your body's immune system when you're having an organ transplant, so it won't reject the organ. But then, like, a year later, once those, it doesn't actually improve the whole situation. It just allows your immune system to, well, it forces your immune system to turn off, which is not great.
Right, and let's look at where they got this from, because this is true, and I haven't seen anything that makes me not believe this, but omega-6 is really bad for us. And, you know, there was a time when that was even promoted as beneficial as well, and now the whole world is like, oh, okay, let's not do that anymore. Now it's believed that omega-3s can cancel out a lot of the damage that omega-6s do, but then the omega-3s, the reality is that they can create their own problems. So instead of trying to increase your omega-3s to cancel out the effects of omega-6s, the real answer is just to reduce the omega-6s. But here's the problem. Omega-6s are in every single thing that is crap. All the stuff that is junk, all of these seed oils that, you know, all of these subsidized crops that are turned into all this stuff that we just find a way to sell it, and let's put it in every single product, and here's some corn oil in this, and let's put some sunflower oil in here, and all this stuff. It ends up, like, just about every processed product has All this six
like
in
sesame
it.
Oil, safflower, all those
all,
things.
All those things, all the vegetable oils and seed oils are
omega-6.
They're really high in omega-6. And if you're not eating like a real food diet, which, I mean, we have like 11 listeners and probably not all of them are eating real food like we tell them to.
I don't. Oh, wait.
Yeah. But so let's say that six people are eating all real food on the planet. And
in our hypothetical study.
Yeah, in our hypothetical study. So that's a lot of people that are getting a lot of omega-6. So it has to be looked at in the view of that there's a lot of evidence showing the real harm that a lot of these things can do. But we also have to take into effect that how much of this stuff that we're getting in from all of the processed foods and all the salad dressings that we buy at the store, you know, pretty much everything. So maybe the actual harm is not as bad as we think if we were able to just eliminate all of the sources that were coming into our body constantly.
Which that
start eating chicken and broccoli for every meal every day.
Right. Well, chicken maybe not. But, but it's fatty acids in chicken.
Oh.
But that brings up a really good point when they look at like these studies that showed, that omega-3 foods promote longevity more than like omega-6s and even like other like saturated fats or omega-9s. What's funny about those studies is that they would put like fish oils and such and omega-3 oils, which are very unstable and super prone to going rancid before, like just like right away, like right away. So they stink and you have to put all these chemicals and such in it to like hide the stink of the food. So in these studies where they saw these animals were living longer, the animals that were fed the omega-3 like fish oil diet didn't want to eat the food that was given them. So they just barely ate. They're like, oh, that's gross. So they were on this like self-imposed calorie restriction diet, which has long been known to increase longevity. And it's largely thought that they, now the more we understand fatty acids, the longevity comes not just from having less calories, but from having less fatty acids accumulate in the tissues. So they found also, they now know beyond calorie restriction, which is really most importantly fatty acid restriction, they find that if you just restrict certain like toxic amino acids and fatty acids, you can increase longevity. And also if you increase consumption of things that buffer against the damage of fatty acids, like the amino acid glycine, which is abundant in gelatin, and certain other vitamins, it can really help, and especially saturated fats can help buffer against the damage that fatty acids can cause in the tissues as they accumulate over age. And those can also increase longevity.
So let's look, we should probably handle questions soon, but let's look real quick at some of the places where we just know they're wrong. Because, you know, when do you meet anybody with cardiovascular disease that doesn't have their doctor cramming omega-3s down their gullet as they walk out the door?
Yeah.
And so to understand why that happens, the basic example is that it seems that the omega-3s can have this effect on inflammation in the short term. And then as they reduce that inflammation, they create 7,000 times more inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a bull in a china shop who's going to sweep up the sand on the floor.
Yeah. And they do that because they're immunosuppressive. They stop your immune reaction from fighting off whatever it's seen and trying to mitigate those damages. But then they end up, like you're saying, causing a lot more damage.
Right. And they have the ability to lower triglyceride levels. So then everybody cheers and says, oh, well, if you've got CVD, you got to lower your triglyceride levels. So take these fatty acids. And they don't look at the fact that it's just restricting the body's ability to make the triglycerides because of the overwhelm it's giving to the liver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's pushing a parameter that they're using as a marker, but it's pushing it in a way that's actually very destructive. And it's beneficial to have more cholesterol-rich foods. And when we look at the body's ability to be able to manufacture cholesterol being impaired, like that's a bad thing. But you can look at it like, oh, look at it. See, it makes this marker move in the right direction. But the overall, what's actually happening with fats and cholesterol and triglycerides is actually a very negative thing.
Right.
So there's that. And then also with, in the case of diabetics, they're often also usually recommended to have a lot of fatty acids. And that's a huge problem because one of the main fundamental problems that are incurred when we eat a lot of fatty acids is our cells' ability to use sugar is damaged. The mitochondria's ability to oxidize glucose is really impaired. So the more fatty acids that we consume, the less we're able to use sugar for fuel. And that is a big problem, because then blood sugar will build up, like that all the carbs you eat won't be able to be used. And even if you cut all carbs out of your diet, like a lot of diabetics are told to like restrict their sugar intake, your body will make more sugar. It'll break down
protein.
Yeah, from your own protein. So because the cells are trying to run off of it, but they just can't use it. Even when they deanimate protein, it's still like glucose that it can't use because the mitochondria are damaged. So that's why diabetics that are on like zero carb diets trying to fix their insulin can wake up with really high fasting glucose scores. And it's from their own body just not being able to use sugar.
Right. It's still the body saying, hey, I still need this, even though I can't use it. It doesn't see it as I'm not getting it. It just sees it as it doesn't have any since it can't be utilized. And another thing when we look at diabetics is that we know that most type 2 diabetics are usually in a deep catabolic state. And in that state, insulin is less effective and the fatty acids are going to push them further into that state. So I'm not a fan of seeing people do that. Mm. But let's handle at least a question.
Okay.
All right, Linda from Altamonte Springs.
I started reading that one earlier, remember?
Florida. Always thought that omega-3s were supposed to be great for you. Please explain why this might not be the case for everyone.
We did that.
Okay. I'm sorry. But that's a common question that Linda has there, and that's what most people think because we, you know, Dr. Oz said to take a lot.
So did Dr. Weil, who I used to like. Mm. I don't know if you know. But even with like the therapeutic use of omegas, I think you're probably on board with this, and I am looking at like the ways that we used to use omega-3s and 6s to help push a body out of a more of an anabolic state. We're now looking at ways that are less that have less ramifications, like maybe with other amino acids or the types of proteins that we use or different vitamins that we can use to help shift the body without adding to their fatty acid load.
And I think that we also have to look at some of the other possible benefits that people could be getting. And it's benefits that we see with people, I still see with people now. And one thing is that, you know, we know that if someone is pulling all the calcium out of their tissues, that fatty acids are one of the most effective things to get that back down there. So if there's some kind of situation that's required, whether a person is having viral issues or they're cramping up real bad and muscles are getting too tight, it's something that can benefit that situation. And now we're just looking at, well, what weighs more, the benefit or the harm that comes later? And, you know, one thing that Guy Shanker, I think two of our favorite thinkers that really hammer these topics is Ray Peet and Guy Shanker. Like, both of them don't have anything nice to say about it at all, like not even a little bit. I forgot what my point was in that part.
Maybe you need some fish oil.
Yeah, because I can't remember. So it's powerful for the brain.
But there
still can be people that can benefit. You know, someone with extreme menstrual cramps, when you do something that's going to help push calcium back in there immediately, that's going to bring some type of relief. And is that worth doing that? And that's, I think that's a question that we may not know. We're just starting to see more and more now harm that can come from doing this a lot, especially if someone is eating an American diet and already getting loads of these sixes in everything that they do and all these PUFAs that are loading up.
What is the side effects if you do have too many omega-3s? What are the side effects?
Well, like all like the damage that we were just talking about that can happen, like mitochondrial dysfunction, inflammation, accelerated aging, impaired ability to use glucose.
It's more like it's catabolic, like all over the place.
Yeah. So it just makes you too catabolic.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, we used to use it a lot for overly anabolic people to make them less anabolic, and that works. But it just seems like it's doing too much catabolic degradation at the tissue level, too much.
I could see how calcium could be, or fatty acids and calcium could be used to like create sort of like a fever, like an internal environment that is damaging enough to kill off internal pathogens. Like if you were to, say you were to drink hydrogen peroxide, which is not recommended, but you had like an intestinal parasite, and it killed the parasite. Like, that worked, right? Like, it did, but there could be a lot of damage that goes along with that approach. Just like possibly the use of fatty acids and calcium could create a noxious internal environment that could help kill off a virus. Theoretically.
Anytime that I feel a cold coming on, I'll take extra calcium and some kind of fatty acid, but I lean a lot towards lysine too to push down to tissues. But in my head, I'm like, well, I don't want to get sick, and this works well, so I'm going to do it. It's just not something I'm going to do every day.
Mm-hmm. All right, Adrian, what's the best way to get them from food instead of using the supplements?
So, you know, if somebody feels that they need this, then I think when you look at flaxseed oil, it's just believed that that's rancid as soon as they set it on the shelf.
Or when it gets into your blood.
Right. And even before it hits the blood, Schenker is like, it's rancid.
Probably.
Instantly. And so, you know, would you push someone more towards ground flax seeds rather than the oil if they had to do that, like fresh grinding it?
I suppose, but only because of like other minerals that might be present in it, not because like the fat in the oil would be
like
great.
Like the Budwig that has the flax seeds in it.
I mean,
ground.
Yeah, and we're starting to see now that maybe that's not as beneficial. You know, it was used hardcore for people with breast cancer who were in a severe anabolic state, and they had success with that, but maybe now, you know, we're thinking maybe that's not the best idea.
Is it just pushed them more catabolic, so it helped them?
Right.
What's funny about it is, like, I would, if you listen to, like, for example, Ray Peet's talk on with fish oil compared to nuts and seeds oils, he would say, like, fish oils will tend to be better, but not because the omega-3s that are abundant in fish are better than the nuts and seeds. It's because they're so unstable that when you cook them, they can conjugate and kind of like they'll bind together, and the free radical damage that they would ordinarily do is sort of neutralized by them becoming a different structured fat with like conjugated linoleic acid or
linoleic
is less damaging because it's found a new molecular structure that's less damaging when consumed.
Oh, because I've seen a couple people lately saying that even when you cook fish, it's almost like heating olive oil or something.
Yeah.
That you're creating PUFAs that way. But
so
that's
you just
interesting.
Eat it raw all the time, like sushi or sashimi?
Right. That might be beneficial. And that's what they look at. Because one of the big arguments that people have about this is, oh, well, the Eskimos, all they ate with is fish and they didn't have disease. And Schenker was like, well, hey, idiot, look at the fact that Eskimos were not eating string cheese, and they didn't have salad dressing, and they didn't have all these other polyunsaturated fatty acids that were being siphoned into their body, along with they didn't eat all these starches and other processed foods. And so their checklist of harmful things was very low, and their plus list of they ate the whole carcass, they made broth out of it, right. They chewed on bone marrow, they had a lot of the fish was raw, and you know, and when you looked at the fatty acid content, it was only like 10% of their diet, but all of the other stuff that they were doing was way better than any of us are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know whether is raw fish better, is cooked fish better. I really don't know. I just know that eating pounds of fish, like the client you were talking about that's eating a pound of fish at a time, I don't think that's as good of an idea as many people are led to believe.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, you guys are always like, no vegan, no vegetarian, you can't get the ratio of all the proteins that you need and blah, 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 blah. But, like, after today, I mean, you said something about, like, you wouldn't want to eat chicken all the time because of fatty acids, and you're talking about fish. So what, I mean,
yes.
What's left
good.
Is the meat.
Right. Well, they can be useful. Like the protein from, even from fish can be useful. It's just when we're looking at best choices, typically we'll lean towards ruminant animals. So animals that regurgitate the grass they chew, break
so
it down.
Beef? Red meat's going to be all right.
Would be,
I like red meat.
And that's because of the fatty acid to saturated fat ratios in their tissues is higher in saturated fat and less in fatty acids because of how they digest their food and break down the fatty acids that are present through their unique process of digestion.
And keep in mind that so many people run from saturated fats, and you know, a lot of this scientific evidence out there is really pointing now that saturated fat is great. So it's not like you have to avoid every single thing, and I certainly wouldn't avoid chicken either. You just have to be aware that, you know, especially with a lot of what the chickens are being fed, they end up with a lot of fatty acids in their tissue. But that doesn't mean don't eat chicken. I mean, some people might tell you that, but I think that that's looking at it too aggressively, especially if you're a person that has, you know, I eat mostly real food. There you go. And now you just eliminated 70% of the toxic load that most people are getting in that are making a lot of these substances that more problematic.
And you're eating like clean meats that are like grass-fed and no antibiotics and organic.
Right,
and
so you're removing problems so the body has less to deal with. I think that the main point of this conversation is, you know, I think we were part of the problem for a long time where there was specific parts of the population that we would really recommend fatty acid use. And I think that we're just seeing now that maybe there's other ways to do that.
Reparations.
And, I mean, looking at ratios of things, like, don't think that I meant just to, like, don't eat chicken. Because you got to look at net impacts. For example, in coconut oil, there's a good amount of fatty acids in coconut oil. There's just way more saturated fats that give it stability. So you could have a tub of coconut oil sit on your shelf for 2 years and it doesn't go bad because those saturated fats are stabilizing. And they have the same kind of effect in your body. Like literally how they're working molecularly can help stabilize your cells and help protect you from the damages of fatty acids.
The free radical damage.
Yeah.
So and, you just think of somebody running through the bloodstream, screaming, knocking over everything.
Yeah, and it's really crazy when you look at like what's happening molecularly. I don't want to go too deep into it, but it's an interesting thing to think about. You know how plants don't freeze when it's snowy out? Like a tree can just be a tree, you know, and like the nuts and seeds, they don't freeze. And that's because fatty acids affect on water, and they prevent it from organizing into ice crystals. So
another thing for the Eskimos, right. They didn't
freeze. So animals can swim in ice water and not mammals, but like fish who have primarily fatty acids that make up their tissues, don't freeze in Arctic water, but mammals do. And it's because of the impact that fatty acids have on the structuring and organization of water in the tissues. So saturated fats help organize water in a way in our bodies that's harmonious with our tissues. But fatty acids are much more meant for plants and, like, subarctic fish.
So the Eskimos eating, like, whale blubber and stuff like that.
Right, and that was part of what Shanker was saying, is that so much of their diet was saturated fat from all these fish and whale and all that kind of stuff. But also, those people who jump in ice water are just dumb. I don't want them to do that anymore.
Right, that's not helpful.
Anytime like we do like a mud run or something where there's like a cold water plunge thing in it, I want to punch whoever set that up so hard.
Okay, Rachel from Rachel, Nevada. She really looked a long time to find a place to live. That was her same
exactly.
Name. She has no problem finding keychains. Chia seeds are a better source of omega-3s and you don't get nasty burps. Luke from Fort Myers, Florida. If you keep them in the fridge, the nasty burps go away. Angus, tried everything. Burp up fish taste and odor. Even the low odor garlic makes me burp garlic. Maybe it's something with your digestion.
So you might want to look at the burping part
of
all of that.
Right.
And listen to our episode on digestion.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes to show like where our questions are like what the questions are and like then like our answers to like, how do you get the best omega-3? It's like, oh, how do I answer that? But yeah, like the tendency towards rancidity of fatty acids is very, very evident. And manufacturers of these things have to go to all sorts of lengths just to make them not smell putrid, like different chemical compounds.
So would you suggest, like, instead of oils now even, I mean, you have to cook with something or just cook with a nonstick pan or something, but like just like avocados and sticking with food, would that be better to get your fats than?
And no.
Okay.
Still, the same reason, like you make avocado oil, like still highly abundant in the fatty acids.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And coconut oil is good to cook with, so we like to see people just do that.
Yeah, coconut oil is a rare exception in the plant kingdom to be primarily a saturated fat. And you can also cook with butter or ghee.
Yeah. Okay. Odessa, buffalo has omega. I am anemic. When I get real bad, it's better than salmon.
Okay.
I would say it's better than salmon.
It is delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll go there.
And it's also a ruminant animal, so it has way less omega than like a fish.
Well, this may be stupid, but anemic, you know, I've heard it a million times, but what is it really? You have low iron?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So there you go again. Yeah. You know, something like bison would be better than salmon for that.
Mm-hmm. And bone broth would be really good.
Yeah. If they made it with marrow.
Gosh, right. Bone. I'm so smart now.
I know.
You got it. You got it.
Oh, my gosh. Will, Udo's oil. Is that your brother, Will?
That was not me.
That was not you cheering for Udo's oil?
No.
Udo's oil is just a brand that they kind of mix a few different oils together to make like some magical thing. I think it was the one that I used when I used to be an alkalizing.
Yeah, when I was alkalizing, yeah.
Yeah.
And they charge a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other main thing. Like people may be like, I wasn't on board with what we're saying initially because there's so much information in support of fatty acids that it's hard to believe that they would be really, really bad for you, you know, and right. Especially when the opposite, like the saturated fats have been given such a bad name. People are just finally kind of coming around to saying, okay, maybe they're not so bad, but they're still not in the place where like, oh, they're really good and essential. Like most people are not
right.
Like, in the mindset of that. But it's helpful to know that there's been a ton of industrial investment in support of the health benefits of plant, nut, and seed oils because they're so cheap to make, and they found that if they could promote them in this way, that they could make a whole lot more money than they could from selling butter because butter is very laborious and expensive to create. So if they could sell like canola oil for the same price or Udo's oil for 10 times the price of butter,
right.
You're going to cash in.
Mm. Susie, I could never take it until I tried the emulsified liquid, and I feel good on that. Is there any logical reason for this?
The only reason I could think of is if they emulsified it in a way that destabilized the fatty acids so that it actually formed like a different molecule, like with this cooked fish oil, where it becomes like conjugated and is no longer as reactive.
Well, that's
or if a person had no, you know, gallbladder or bile flow issues and they're having fats that are already processed a little bit, it removes the person's need to process them and maybe that removes a burden from them.
Jackie, Sumter, South Carolina. Should this be a priority in my diet or am I getting enough from the fish I eat 2 or 3 times a week?
Yeah, you're fine. Don't do it. So if somebody's eating that much fish, they're you know, you're already loading up.
And you also may be loading up on heavy metals, too.
Sure.
Just
so maybe we'll cover that topic next.
Yeah.
Carol, when do you choose fish oil and when flaxseed oil? Are they interchangeable if you have no imbalances?
Well, we used to think that they were semi-interchangeable, and I used to lean towards fish oil a little bit better just because I heard more good stuff about it. And we also used to talk about how if you're going to take one of these oils, do it in a little pearl capsule because there's less of a chance of it being rancid than in some kind of liquid bottle. But now we're just seeing less and less reasons to continue using it. And the reasons that someone might is if they're having, you know, issues where they need something to help push calcium back into the tissues, or maybe they're super anabolic and having a real problem with it. But since the effects seem to be short-term, it just doesn't seem like a long-term use is a good idea anymore.
Alberto, Mexico City, Mexico. Is there a difference between taking an omega-3 pill and eating a high-quality wild fish high in omega-3s?
I do feel like any liquid or pill is going to have a better chance of being rancid than a wild-caught fish, right?
Yeah, and you're missing out on, like, there's good protein and other, like, vitamins that are present in fish and other minerals that are present in fish. So that's probably the good part of it, you know, that comes along with the fatty acids.
I went deep sea fishing this weekend.
Oh,
didn't
yeah?
catch anything.
Really?
Yeah. Deborah, can it cause kidney stones?
You know, you hear this sometimes, and from what we know about it, it makes perfect sense to us. Just because of it's pushing somebody so catabolic. Do you want to explain that?
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole host of problems that can come along with overconsumption of fatty acids. Kidney stones and errant calcium metabolism could be a product of it. Like I'm not totally certain exactly how fatty acids could directly cause kidney stones, but the fact that it can impair our ability to process sugars and cause inflammation is more than, as well as dementia and immunosuppression and all these other accelerated aging issues. I don't think that it could do anything possibly beneficial for electrolyte balance.
Yeah, well, if it's going to push somebody more catabolic, then less water is going to go through the kidneys, and that's going to create all kinds of kidney trouble too.
Right.
So that could be a direct effect.
Nisa, when pregnant women are told they need this supplement in high amounts, is that true for every pregnant woman? Or is it the same people saying that everyone should take this as a supplement? I took this and magnesium while pregnant, and I'm curious if this is why I was so extremely catabolic after pregnancy.
Well, one interesting thing is I wonder how much giving birth is a pro-catabolic event, just because any surgery would be for most people. But I would buy into the fact that if you were actually listening to mainstream and you wanted your baby to be healthy, then you would probably take a boatload of omega-3s, because everybody is promoting that. And they're even putting DHA and baby formula now. And there's been a lot of studies that have shown that, that large, heavy doses of PUFAs can restrict brain development, and they're showing that the saturated fats really boost the brain development. So I think that it is a thing of they're promoting it for all this stuff. They look at the short-term benefits, so they think that pregnant women need it even more. And people that I really like, they also promote it for pregnant women. So it's a tricky situation, Are there really needs for any of these fatty acids for brain development or not? And, what do you think that they see as far as why it would be beneficial for brain development?
Well, it's usually because there's so many fatty acids present in the brain. But for example, one thing that they can say is evident is, if there's less of these fatty acids present, we see a disease state, and we see that we should supplement with them, because in this person who is very evidently in a disease state, they don't have any of these fatty acids present. So they must have a deficiency of these fatty acids. But the thing is, there's damage occurring in those tissues, like in the brain or elsewhere in other organs where fatty acids are present, and those fats are destroyed in the damage. And they are contributing to the damage. So their own presence is causing this destruction, and then you don't see them anymore, kind of like a missile exploding, right? So then you think, they must need more missiles. It's very much like that with fatty acid metabolism in the brain. It's like you don't see those fatty acids in abundance in sick people because they're blowing up. Like molecularly, that's what's happening. So the solution is not to send more missiles, it's to correct the metabolic environment so that those fatty acids aren't so reactive and exploding and breaking down and causing all this detriment.
Right. I have a question. If you're pregnant, I know you're supposed to be catabolic in the day and anabolic at night, but wouldn't it make more sense to try to be more anabolic because you're building a baby?
Yeah, and I think that the natural sense of pregnancy, a lot of the hormonal stuff that's going on, tends to push a woman more anabolic. And that may be why, constipation is so common with pregnant women. Is because they're being pushed further into that anabolic state. So I don't know that for a fact, but I think you're thinking right there is I think, if somebody's going to build a human, they need to be in a building mode. And I even more think that they need to have building resources available to do that. But yeah, so that's another thought is if they're taking all these omega-3s, are they pushing themselves too catabolic during a pregnancy? And
I think so.
Yeah, it makes sense that they would be, but not that we know that's the answer for sure. That's one thing that that this episode is about is that it's pretty easy to find a lot of people bragging about the benefits of omega-3s, but this is about saying, hey, you know, do some research to look at the other side too so that you can get an understanding of it. And if you search any Ray Pete articles for omega-3 effects, as well as Guy Schenker, which is S-C-H-E-N-K-E-R, I think. Yeah. If you research any of articles from either one of those guys, you might just run and like throw your bottle in the trash immediately. Yeah. But at least I think it's important to get both viewpoints, because most people hold the viewpoint right now that Dr. Oz says to do this, I can't cram enough in me.
Yeah. And if you do look up Ray Pete, and then if you're like a more, I'm trying to be more objective, and you look up critiques of Ray Pete's articles, because Ray Pete's very clear and like expressive in what he's citing, how he's interpreting the studies. And then you'll see these rebuttals against Ray Pete, and Ray Pete's like rebutted against them, the people that have rebutted against him. And he's saying like, just vehemently disagreeing with me doesn't form an argument. Like, just because you say I'm wrong and you're really passionate about the fact that you think I'm wrong, that's not an argument. Like, they don't actually address the points that he's making when he's like saying, look at the actual effect of what's happening with these fatty acids in the tissues.
Yeah, and one thing that we have been echoing, especially lately, is that, you know, we've come to an understanding that when you research nutrition for a living, you keep learning stuff all the time. And, you know, so many things that we thought were true before, we just don't believe them anymore. And maybe we're wrong. Who knows? Maybe half the stuff, you know, I'm really excited now that the heart doesn't even pump. It's just a,
I know,
it's just a light bright.
Well, it does pump. It's just light plays a huge role.
All right. It's okay. It's going to all work out. but the point is that just because so many people are pro omega-3, don't let that be a reason to believe that it's 100% accurate for everybody, because we used to think that smoking was healthy for everybody and we were real sure about it. Mm. And we're not so sure anymore.
I know. Every time a new thing comes out, I got to throw away hundreds of dollars of supplements.
Right.
So that's kind of how it goes, is we just continue to learn and use the best information that we have. And you just kind of have to stay open to, okay, let's see what the reality is with this viewpoint and if that holds any merit.
But are they ever going to find the true science? Or are we just going to keep on just...
I don't think anybody's ever going to know everything about how the human body works. It's just too jazzy.
It's quite convoluted, but a big problem... Well, I don't know if we even want to get into talking about lipid membranes and things like that, but just know that the basis of a lot of the science that we have, the piles and piles of research talking one direction or another, it all has motives behind it. And it's really important to just take a step back, try not to have an objective about like supporting the product that you made or like looking good in front of other people, and just see like what's actually true. Do these studies add up? Does it make sense with what we think we know about science? What else could better explain things? And a lot of it, it kind of comes down to like what really needs to happen, even in just the body of science outside of pharmaceutical industries and medicine, is to try to stick to actual observation of like what do we actually see is happening, and does it match our model? And when it doesn't match the model, it's time to change the model.
Yeah, so look at who's doing the study, because if the pharmaceutical company right. or sugar's doing a study on sugar,
right.
you're
right.
probably not going to get yeah. like...
And you see that 90% of the time, all those studies are funded by somebody yeah. who has an interest in that. So what I really like to do now is when I read anything, I like to have the thought in the back of my mind of, why does this person believe this? What is it that's making them come to this conclusion, and do I agree with the reason that they came to that conclusion?
If they have nothing to benefit from it except just having the truth, then
well, even then you can still be misled and wrong. But X-Files is great.
Yeah, exactly. They have a new season coming out. Great.
All right. We did it. We nailed it.
We did it. And because we're fancy now, today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And if you want to learn more about how to look at your own body chemistry, you can go to Kick It. What am I doing here? You can take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com. You can also go to healthprocourse.com to learn more about how to become a health coach or just more information for yourself so you can seem smart like I do now.
Yeah, and next week we'll be talking about why everybody should take omega-3 oil.
Yeah, exactly. And you can read any of Tony's books, his Kick It In The Nuts series or Done With Being series, and you can go to Will Schmidt's mybodyofknowledge.net, too, to find out any fancy information. And he's got exercises on there and blogs and stuff. So.
Okay, well then, well, bye.
Bye.
Bye. 'Cause I know a place where the sun is on.